Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Joining us right now is Joe Geruso, City Council District member. Yesterday, during my conversations with Rafi Goyeneche, I brought up this issue, and it's not as it's not criticizing anyone, because everyone's heart's in the right place, their intentions are solid. It's just kind of a question about the way that we conduct ourselves in our business. So I asked the question of, why is the city not paying for Bill Bratton? I mean, this obviously is incredibly important. And if we're going to send the message that we are going to begin to take care of our own business, why are we not taking care of our own business? Why is a third party not-for-profit going about raising dollars to pay for this individual? And we appreciate it. They've done incredible work historically. They have delivered quality product over and over and over again. And I've said this to our guest and others about this beggar mentality of the city. We got to stand up, prioritize ourselves, prioritize the issues, fund it, move forward, deal with it. And he's here to talk to us about that. Joe, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We know you're busy. We appreciate it. And I just wanted to give that backdrop your thoughts.
Well, thanks. Look, Newell, I think the issue has always been the community outside the city has stepped up countless times, whether it's after Katrina, it's after Ida, whatever the disaster is, to put money on the table, to supplement, and sometimes candidly to say we want something to go smoother or faster than it can work in government. My understanding with the money for Bratton was part of the reason the nonprofit stepped into the fray here was because things in government get bogged down. Does there have to be a procurement process, et cetera? And after I started hearing about this sort of in parallel, as you were having a conversation with Rafi yesterday, the first thing was, well, the governor has signed an emergency declaration waiving procurement. The city should have something similar. So I don't see process as being an obstacle here. And then the next question is, well, why don't we just fund it? And so by accident, almost yesterday, as I was getting ready to leave after the council meeting, I ran into the chief administrative officer, Gilbert Montano, and just said, hey, Gilbert, this is not a lot of money. We need to have skin in the game. And two things. One, Bratton will bring a fresh set of eyes to everything. I think NOPD generally does a really good job, but it's always better to have somebody who can bring a different and fresh perspective. And two, I think J.P. Morell has raised this point as you, if it's something's in a nonprofit's hands, how does it get disseminated? What do people know? How are we all looking at it? And I said two, but actually maybe three. Three is the city should have skin in this game. And again, we've asked a lot from people and from our partners and from businesses, but this is not a huge lift. And I just don't see any reason. So conceptually, the city is now on the same page. Obviously, I need to talk to my colleagues in more detail, but the CAO's office was on board. I think it's a good idea. My colleagues are obviously supporting additional resources and looking into what's happened. And if we're going to say, hey, we're going to conduct an investigation on bollards or other things, then it seems reasonable to me that the continuation of that is let's cough up the money for Bratton. And the last thing, Noel, is I know you're always a detail guy. We fund NOPD at the beginning of the year. They're sitting on a relatively large budget right now because they haven't spent it. We can just take the money out of their operating budget right now, use it to fund Bratton, and come back and fill it as necessary. So this, to me, is not a big lift and something we all can and should do, and I think, and don't see any reason why the city shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, not to get too granular on this, but as I was watching the press conference yesterday, I guess it was yesterday afternoon, I don't even know what day it is anymore, but you know, there were comments made that the client is the NOPD, and I'm like, well, they don't really have procurement authority. It's really the city of New Orleans. I mean, you know, there's a lot of legalese, and you're a lawyer. You understand how this all works as to who's accountable to who. Said it just seems to me that we're making this far more complex than it needs to be. And with the emergency designation, we didn't get to that yesterday, but that was the thought in my mind. We've got, you know, the landscape to be able to do it, to get through the procurement process, not to mention it is a professional services agreement and a personal services agreement, which is exempt, you know, in many respects from some of the procurement regulations. Shouldn't be that difficult.
It isn't, and shouldn't be. And look, I think one of the things we really need to do for the public, Newell, is stop with the grousing and finger pointing and just say, all right, this makes sense, so let's go do it. And it was literally a 2-minute conversation in the hall where, again, the CEO, who is the highest representative of the mayor, and the budget chair are saying, this is something that makes all the sense in the world, and let's put it together and make it work. And then the other point I think you're making sort of intrinsically in what you just said, too, is Bratton is going to have to talk to New Orleans Homeland Security, going to have to talk to New Orleans Department of Public Works, going to have to talk to NOPD. That might be a touch easier if his pay is coming out of the city rather than through a nonprofit who then has to make introductions. And how does the city get comfortable? So in a way, this actually speeds up potentially his ability to do it. And I think that would be welcome too, to really kind of, to borrow a police phrase, take the handcuffs off of him and let him move a little bit faster.
I'm that one that gets wrapped all into symbolism all the time. I'm kind of a straightforward guy. I think you realize that after all these years. But, I mean, I do believe it sends a message to the community that the city and the city council are serious about this matter, stepping up and resolving it and getting it through the process and getting it done.
All I hear from the public is, we want quality of life issues taken care of, and we just want things to work. And to the point you've raised, and we've had this discussion many times, sometimes agreeing, sometimes not agreeing, but quality of life issues have to be first and foremost on everybody's mind. And this absolutely is. We need to put on our best face for the Super Bowl and for Mardi Gras coming up and other events, French Quarter Fest, Essence Fest, Jazz Fest, and having somebody who can kick the tires and look at everything makes all the sense in the world. And I would argue it's not just symbolic. I would argue it's just good business for government to do it this way.
Absolutely.
It's both. It's both.
But your point is more important than all of it. You know, I mean, that's why I said, that's why I qualified. I'm not into the symbolism, but I mean, it is there, right? And my big concern, and I don't know if you even want to talk about this, but, you know, we have the backdrop of elections this year in October. And whether we want to agree to it or not, that gets this all hazy, right? And we saw it reveal itself in that committee meeting the other day. You know, from my perspective, it was kind of childish. You know, there needs to be a structure. I mean, the easiest way to communicate with the council is through the council chairman. I think historically that's how it's worked, it's back and forth, you know, as to who gets first notice, a committee chair, the council, you know, council president, whatever. I mean, it's like, come on, guys. I don't get it.
Yeah, and I guess look, elections are always going to permeate, and that's just a reality. It just is. And but at the same time, let me say this: I also think when that happens, people hear from their constituents in sort of short order, and you know, it's, hey guys, we got to move beyond this. This is there's a picture here that we should all be grown ups, and that's what people are looking for right now. And look, Newell, I'll just say this. I know the council generally wants to be adults and grown-ups in the room handling things, and the onus has often fallen us to execute on stuff that is outside of our purview. So I will just say, you know, particularly for somebody who isn't running, who's freed from some of the shackles of political concerns going forward, it's a focus on how do we just solve the problem? Like, let's forget about, we're mad at this person, here's the things. At the same time, let me just say one other thing, though. the lack of communication internally is also what drives so much of this consternation. And frequently when the council gets upset, individuals, it's also because it's been this historical, we're not in the loop. I do agree, like, sometimes I don't know something that maybe I ought to know, but okay, you find out about it. How do we move forward together? And in this instance, I think at the end of the day, the public wants everybody to be of the same mind. How do we do it? How do we accomplish it? And for a council in particular, I think it's about how do we provide the resources? We're the legislative. I can't execute. I can't make them go do the thing, but I can provide the money. The way I always say it is I can buy the light bulbs, but I can't make them screw it in. And so what are the light bulbs the city needs right now?
Yeah. You know, and I try to put things in a context of understanding, you know, a little bit of the importance that the execution on the deployment of security measures it creates degrees of separation from, you know, relying on the heroic efforts of the NOPD or a man lift being left in the middle of the of Bourbon Street that actually is not permitted to be there. And they, for days, had tried to get it moved unsuccessfully, but for the grace of God, you know, made all the difference in the world. Those two coming in, you know, the confluence of those two activities, NOPD and the man lift, in eliminating the threat. And, you know, so we are fortunate, we're lucky. That these individuals stepped up. We are fortunate, we're lucky that the man lift was sitting in the middle of the street because who knows how much more carnage would have happened. But those security measures create those degrees of separation where we're not having to rely on that as much, right? And that's what's really important because we're putting our own people, our own employees and our at risk more so. And the understanding of that, I mean, should create the exigency and the concern and the shock and awe in our response in getting this done.
Yeah, I think that's been one of my great concerns, too, because every time I'm talking about bollards or arches or whatever the thing may be, I'm not talking about how heroically NOPD, NOFD, EMS, hospital people responded to all of this. And I never want that to get lost in the narrative. Is public has to understand there may be training, but they ran towards not only to neutralize this terrorist, but also to help all the people who've been so grievously injured around them, too. And then they got to turn around Newell and do it all over again in a matter of weeks with the Super Bowl. And so that ought to be a continued part of our thanks is to all of our first responders. And that absolutely cannot get lost in all of this. And then I said this earlier today on Tommy, I will continue to beat this drum too. We've had five different heads of Department of Public Works and we're on our fourth police chief. It is really hard to have that continuity and coordination that you are talking about when you've had so many different people who, in fairness, no matter how smart Ann Kirkpatrick or Rick Hathaway are, just have not been here to have the conversations, to do all the things, to be inserted. And then it's also why on Wednesday and Thursday, I keep on repeating my point of, I don't understand what the governance model is right now. I know ultimately somebody is in charge, but is it the engineers who are supposed to do something? Is it somebody else? Is it NOSEP is supposed to give orders to DPW? What happens, to your point, if the equipment isn't picked up, but it's supposed to be? Who's responsible? And we need to wrap our arms around that and making sure that it's very clear lines of responsibility, that things are being accomplished, and that not only all of that, but that we learn and that we get better as a result of that learning.
Yeah, I mean, it's really all about the execution. And I mean, not to beat a dead horse, but I'll give you a classic example. They repaired some roadway over by Florida Lee and Veterans Highway. And someone delivered a sewer cover ring, you know, the ring that the sewer cover sits in. They finished that project over a year ago. At that red light, in the neutral ground, you probably drive by there 10 times a day. Look, I think it's still there. That ring is still sitting on a neutral ground. Now, I don't know how long it's going to sit there. I know the salvage yards won't take it because they know it belongs to the city. Probably 10 years ago, they would have, and it wouldn't have been a problem. But it's just the classic example of, well, who's responsible for cleaning up and making sure all the equipment is removed from that location that has been completed and it still sits there? You know, and it's just another example of we're not paying attention to the granular details of what we're supposed to be doing as we execute on jobs and contracts and this and that. Somebody's responsible for that, right? I mean, probably in the contract. More likely than not, the contractor. I don't know. But it's just a classic example of what we deal with over and over and over again. I've seen other jurisdictions do it much better. But it's, again, that attention to details. Is it a pain in the neck? Yeah, that damn thing's heavy. You're going to have to bring out a piece of equipment to lift it because two people are not lifting that thing.
Look, you are 100% right, and I've had to tell the departments many times that when the road work isn't done right, the sewer work takes too long, something happens with somebody's bill, with a utility, they just get worn down. And to me, one of the things I've really liked about being a local leader is I don't have to worry about federal issues and fixing a pothole or getting the sewage and water bill right or whatever, turning the lights on somewhere. That's not a Republican issue. That's not a Democrat issue. That's just basic quality of living that needs to be done. And I have several things that I've started telling my staff about that my patience is exhausted on, and that I'm going to start using the budget committee this year as a place of, if you haven't done this and we are now more than 6 months in, we have to have a conversation about why it's not being done. And it may be born out of, I'm a lame duck, and so I have more ability to start bringing these things forward, but I want people to know that it's not for lack of caring or for lack of trying, and we'll keep on pushing. And that also, Newell, the other point about all this too is getting everything ready for the Super Bowl is incredibly important. But I know a lot of residents who live in sort of the more outlying areas, Gentilly, Lakeview, other parts of the city, feel like I'm not getting the love that downtown, the CBD, are getting right now. And so they have to see the quality of life issues working for them too.
No doubt, for sure. As always, we truly appreciate your time and your insight. And thank you so much for joining us at the last moment this morning.
Thanks much, Newell. Take care.
Thank you, sir. That is Joe Geruso, district member of the New Orleans City Council. We will be right back. 504-260-1870. Love to hear from you. No Filter Friday. Give us a shout. We'll be right back.